Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Corey Sandin. Rock Cod Rick will be back making his grand reappearance on Let's Talk Hookup tomorrow.
Man,
so
special,
we'll hear about the new baby and all that stuff tomorrow. But great guest today, Wayne Cotto, CCA director, and such a hard-working gentleman that we're so thrilled to have on our side, for sure. And what a great prize we're giving away today, too.
I agree with you, man. A full-day trip on the Liberty out of
Fishermen's. Starts real soon.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to get the engines fired up, ready to go chasing yellows.
Speaking of the Liberty, we set up two Let's Talk Hookup trips on the Liberty, Sunday, September 11th and Sunday, October 16th. $735 includes all your meals for a two-day trip, and it's limited to 25 passengers.
Prime time of the year,
And those trips are filling very, very quickly. So you want to get on before they're sold out, which is going to be real soon. Fisherman'sLanding.com. Just go on the Fisherman's Landing website or give them a call at Fisherman's Landing and book those two trips. We're going to have lots of great stuff from Gamakatsu. One of the trips is going to be sponsored by Cutwater. It's going to be great, man. So
they've got some killer stuff.
Going to be some fun times on those Liberty trips, so you want to be sure to do that and have a chance to win that trip today. How do we do it, Corey?
Well, there's a couple different ways to do it, Pete. 213-432-1090, that's the number there, and that happens to be full at the moment. But if you want to text us, you can do so via the Let's Talk Hookup app. Simple download, it's free. Nothing goes anywhere except here. And you can text us, you go on there, text the show, and it's a one-way deal. Make sure you do leave your name and your telephone number so we have a way to contact you if you win. So today we're going to draw one winner out of each and then flip a coin, and one of those two will win from the callers and texters.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's jump in the catch report.
Let's do it. And sponsored by Summit Gasoline. Lowest prices are great. Free ice is amazing. But what sets Summit Gasoline apart from the rest goes much deeper. It's like Martha, the store manager that heads up a well-trained and busy staff, frozen bait and chum, gourmet Italian coffee, discounted live bait certificates. And this is one that drives me crazy, Wayne. Can you believe this? They're still offering 100 pounds of ice free to our listeners with 35-gallon minimum purchase.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe
that? And the
that?
Lowest prices, too.
It's crazy.
You had me at the live bait discount.
I know it. Yeah, you get, hey, you where get
a
in the
full
world?
Full scoop of Everingham Brothers for a price of a half scoop.
Pete, just tell me where else you could go and get a discount live bait certificate.
Yeah.
Nowhere else but Summit Gasoline. Easy in and out with your boat and trailer at San Diego at the Sports Arena.
Yeah, it's a great spot and great people there. Go
Can you
check
believe it,
out. Yeah, they're the best. Yeah, they're really
100
fantastic.
Pounds of free ice.
Really good people, for sure. Hey, let's find out what's going on. Our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish from Pacific Edge. Good morning, Mark.
I bet Mark has something to ice down with 100 pounds of ice.
Yeah, he could do it.
Man, I'd love to have something to ice down. A bunch of those cods that will be fighting for us here in another month or so. Sea bass and all that other good stuff. Hey, morning, Pete, and Corey, and Wayne. Good show. So, we made it through January, thank goodness. Not too much fishing out there, but lots of wind for sure. And now in February, and here's a fun fact for you, because today's February 5th, and it's statistically the most likely day of the year in Southern California for it to be raining. Now, it hasn't been for 2 weeks, and it's not going to for weeks out, they're saying. But anyway, statistically, it's supposed to be raining if we're going to get any.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I haven't even seen a cloud for 3 days. It's been beautiful. But, hey, guys, conditions are changing. Spring's coming. Days are longer, that sun angle's getting up a little higher, and one of the most obvious signs of springtime, and my favorite one of all, is the bloom of the white flowers on the dogwood trees.
Oh.
And, there we go.
You mention it every year.
About it every year, and it's just the coolest thing watching these trees. There's a stretch of them on my way to, you know, and they're everywhere in Southern California. You see them everywhere.
Are they on Boca Chica or are they on Edinger?
Well, actually, the ones that I use for the schedule are on Heil.
Okay.
But just before I get to Boca Chica and Edinger, they're all over the place. But, you know, they usually start blooming sometime between the middle of January and the middle of February. It varies. And this year, they were a couple weeks ahead of schedule, which is good news. They're just about ready for all them flowers to come down now. And for me, it's really a cool thing because it almost always closely correlates with the start of better sea bass fishing over there at Catalina,
Ooh.
And especially as our water's creeping up to 60, which it is.
Ooh.
So over at Catalina, we'll talk about that for a little bit here. Definitely getting a little more traffic, which is better weather we've had. Guys getting out and about, getting a few more reports, which is a good thing. And there's a few dabs of squid around, not a whole lot at the island. There's plenty of it in other places, but there's a little bit on the front there in that Lion's Head area. And then around the back there, just below Cat Harbor, which is a really nice spot, the fish bait, because it's usually very calm in there where a lot of the other spots on the back are not. But, there's been a little bait just below Cat Harbor there. So once you've made some bait, you know, a lot of times everybody thinks about sitting on the bait grounds and fishing for sea bass and yellows, and, you know, that's a cool thing to do for sure. But there just hasn't been much signal on that fish. So what I'd probably do if I made some bait back there right now, I'd go relocate to some of them deep structure spots that's around that area. And fish nighttime calico bass. So nighttime bass fishing at this time of year, man, it's cold. I froze my butt off many a night. But them big bass love that squid lead head combo. Fishing on heavy tackle, guys, set up on the edge of structure. A lot of times we're putting the anchor into 20 fathoms and we're fishing back up against these bigger rocks, you know, and so you're fishing in like 12 to 15 fathoms like that. But, you know, you can fish pedestal rock proper, which is a little below where you made your bait. And the deep structure that's just a little above Cat Harbor, and then there's a big rock out in front of the Screaming Monkey and Sentinel Rock proper like that. That's all great nighttime bass fishing. And along with that bass, this is why you got to be fishing heavier tackle, guys. You hook some whopper sea bass in there at this time of year also. So it's a good thing to do, something a little different. Don't see a lot of guys doing it anymore. No reason that you shouldn't other than the fact that it's cold at night. But, man, those big bass bite really well. Same spots in the daytime. You can't hardly catch a 10-incher to save your soul, but those 5-pounders will bite at night. Yeah. So that's a little Catalina report for you. And for you guys that want to learn how to fish that island, I mean, there's a lot of technical stuff to learn about that. I wrote a little book called In the Gray, 500 pages of how to fish Catalina. You can get it on our website, or you can come by the store, of course, and I'll show you how to set your stuff up,
In the Gray is absolutely the Bible. Every fisherman that fishes Catalina has to have that book.
I know
it's
you have
incredible.
It in your office.
It's right
somewhere.
Here. It's right there. I'm looking right at it.
Okay.
Actually, I have it on the boat now. I moved it to the boat because when you go to Catalina, it's like I always reference in it. It's like, where did Mark say to go? How to fish this spot?
It's got
it
all
literally
the spots.
Tells you how to fish spots.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, I have a question. That sea bass, where do you think it is? I mean, because the bait's there, do you think it's like... What's on your mind?
That's the toughest of all the sea bass questions is where are those fish at this time of year?
Yeah.
And, you know, personally, I think a lot of them go offshore. I think there's an offshore component to that fish that hasn't been fully explored yet because, you know, there's no mistaking looking at sea bass on a depth finder if you know anything about reading your meter. I mean, they mark because they're bigger fish and they got very large air bladders. They mark very distinctly.
Right.
So it's really easy to see when they're around. And there's just not much around. You know, there's a little sprinkle Catalina, but, I mean, there's no volume, no schools. And, you know, personally, I think they're offshore. You know, in years past, I remember hearing some of the guys that fly for the commercial fleet in between Catalina and Clemente, and it was like March or something, and there hadn't been anything going on. And these guys are talking about seeing a couple of big schools of white sea bass in between the two islands.
On the surface, if they were seeing them out of the plane, and it's so crazy.
Yeah,
they big balls.
And the next day, Catalina bit wide open.
Wow, crazy.
Well, there is a school of thought that says that there's the schools going all the way out to Tanner and Cortez at some point.
Exactly what's on my mind, right? So they get them out at the Cortez, and it is a lot of open ocean out there at 90 miles. Right?
So when do they move in, Mark? Is it is squid related? Temperature related?
You know, it's temperature and it's squid. it seems like, you know, because the squid, they gorge on that stuff when they're getting ready to spawn because it's like pure protein. They don't have hardly anything to you know, worry about digesting because the whole thing is easily digestible. So they gorge on that, and then they get in their spawning routine, and then they do whatever else sea bass are doing. But, you know, in years past, and I had this conversation yesterday with one of my customers, a young guy who's will be a really good fisherman one day. He's got the inquiring mind necessary. But we were talking about exactly this, as to when the fish move in and out and where they go. And, you know, it just depends. Some years and in years past, we used to have much better fishing for sea bass at the island in the winter than we do now. It just, there doesn't seem to be much around. And yet, you know, we used to have some really good fishing in January and February, and big ones.
Hey, on that note, Mark, just so you know, we have the pens rebuilt for Hub SeaWorld Research Institute out there. We have broodstock that was collected at the end of last season, and we're getting ready to transport them probably this next week over to Mission Bay to the hatchery program, and then we're going to take some of our stock and move it over to the pens over there and potentially grow them a little bit larger and start that program back up out there in Catalina. So,
oh, great news.
You know,
oh,
that, nice. It's only going to help the process, right?
Yeah.
So, for sure.
You know, over the years, I collected many, many sea bass and you know, took them to the different boats and up to the pens and whatnot. I loved being part of that. That was fun.
Hey, Mark, I have a question. Last year, January, yeah. February, we had a nice run of some bigger yellows there on the backside. But there was a lot more squid around. Is that stuff happening or no?
I've heard very little about yellowtail.
Yeah.
Over there.
Maybe because of the lack of squid?
Yeah, you know, I would guess. And then, interestingly enough, I had some friends that were fishing Nick a while back, just before Christmas. They had some really good yellowtail at Nicholas, San Nicholas Island. And, you know, not a boat in sight. And that was before the squid fleet found that bait that was there on the east end and got in there and wrecked that area. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they had some pretty good yellowtail fish in there at Nick. So, you know, the stuff's around and, you know, we just don't know an awful lot where it goes in the winter. But Wayne, I got one for you, buddy, because, you know, from listening to you talk, you don't have nearly enough on your plate.
Yeah.
But,
right. Here it comes.
But this talking about this sea bass stuff, you know, since I've fished this stuff my whole life, I've got some anecdotal knowledge about, you know, the patterns and the schools and the volume of fish. And, you know, I don't see that fish recovering the way I think it should be. And I'd love to see that limit go to one year round and somehow put a limit on these commercial guys.
The commercial guys are what really putting the hurt on them.
You mean the commercial squid fleet?
No, the commercial sea bass.
No, the rod and reel guys.
The rod and reel guys.
Oh, okay.
When in June 15th comes and they'll put a whole stack on their boat, you know, when they get in the spawning mode, they're stupid, right?
Yeah.
They'll eat everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
they were eating the surface iron last year at Catalina.
Right?
Yeah.
I agree with you, Mark.
All this sea bass talk is crazy, Mark. It gets me fired up because it's all part of the inshore fishery,
yeah.
You know, really. It's in my heart of passion.
Yeah, and then the thing is, we've got sea bass going all the way up to San Francisco Bay, all the way down to Baja Coast now. And the problem is it's just not enough staff and enough people helping to find out, you know, where they are going. We know that they swim there. It's like herding kittens.
Yep.
You know, all the way out to Tanner Cortez, all the way up to Northern California, and all the way down the Baja Coast.
And Jeff, Cedros has had phenomenal bites in the summertime at Cedros.
Right.
So it's kind of...
Right there by the salt factory, like, and down by the airport.
Like, think about that range. Cedros...
Yeah. And we don't know if those are our tag fish. And then the problem that we also have south of the border is the commercial fleet's allowed to pull in smaller fish, which is... now being imported into our markets because our markets want the smaller fish.
Right.
They don't want the big fish.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's not helping either. So,
yeah. Well,
it's a bigger problem that we're all going to work
on. Yeah, but I think I agree with Mark, the commercial thing, you know, because there's so many, and I understand that a lot of recreational guys are getting their commercial license and they're paying for their fuel and stuff like that. I totally understand that. Totally get it. But the sea bass thing really needs to be addressed because they put the hurt on it when it wants to bite.
As far as the commercial fleet,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
and that's the small boat, you know, the 18
right.
to 25
exactly.
foot.
The guys
boat.
That are really good at it, that do it every day. Yeah.
Right.
Right, Mark? Is that what we're talking about?
That's what we're talking about. You know, and as a sidebar, this in this conversation I was having yesterday, you know, when the sea bass, you know, they were gone for many, many years. And then when they started coming back in the early 80s, you know, there was a handful of us that were fishing them really hard. figured it out, and we're catching them. But we're mostly catching smaller fish, you know, 8 to, 15 when you got a 20-pounder, man. That was pretty cool. And today, I don't even know where I'd go to catch an 8-pounder. I'd catch a 50-pounder easier than I could catch an 8-pounder. Yeah. So you know, where are them smaller fish?
Yeah, where are those fish? And you know, I've had this conversation several times with, who's the guy from Cal Fish and Game that that we see at the Fred Hall shows?
Director?
Not the director, but the
Craig Schumann.
Craig, I've had this conversation with Craig Schumann, who's the ocean guy at Cal Fish and Game, or Fish and Wildlife, or whatever the hell it's called now. But but about the commercial sea bass guys, and it just totally goes on deaf ears. It's like, yeah, we know that's a problem. And it's like, well, why don't you do something about it? It just, I don't know.
It's a process, because it's about looking at the total stock, and then you build your quotas and you build your models on take and everything, and then you set your bag limits and then you got to monitor it, right?
Right,
and so it's reactionary, right? It's hard to do it proactively. It's reaction to what you've seen over the history and where you think it's going trending. Yeah. So it's not as simple of a process as you think it is to just change things.
Right. So. But I'm not trying to attack the small commercial guy at all. I'm not trying to attack any of those. It's just this particular issue with sea bass needs to be addressed.
Well, and it's something that Mark's the guru, right? And he's talking about.
Yeah.
It's already in talks. The fisheries management plan, we just had a review last year over it and talking about it, and and then you have it at different levels, right? Of management. So it is there, and we have the hatchery program going. We just started our new advisory panel process because of our 1949 bill and the science advisory. We're just now getting that group together to do the analysis on the hatchery program again and set the goals for the next 5 years. So it's an ongoing process that we're working on.
Yeah, for sure. And Mark, of course, fishdope.com, always the best information from, I guess Danny's coming back with more information to help Jeff out.
Danny's. In fact, I forgot the most important part of the report. Glad you said that. I talked to Danny last night. Triggerfish. Wide open triggerfish bite in Santa Monica Bay.
Santa Monica Bay. Triggerfish bite.
Yeah.
How about that?
Huh?
That's the kind of stuff you get. It's fishdope. Yeah, you could use the new Fisherman's Process ceviche kit with that. Are you kidding me?
Now you're thinking.
Yeah. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And how do we find you, Mark? Let me ask Corey, where do we find him?
I think it might be at the corner of Bolsa Chicken and Edinger, just adjacent, not only to the mobile station, but the Blooming Dogwoods.
The Blooming
Dogwoods. Watch for the dogwood tree.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that report, and also the talk about sea bass. It's such an important resource for us here in Southern California. We all love to catch them, and let's make sure we have them for the future.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Hey,
all right, appreciate
the Blooming Dogwoods, Pete, to me, are like the Groundhog Day, right?
Yeah.
When Mark starts talking about the dogwoods, you know it's almost sea bass time.
That's right, man.
I'm telling you what, man. They're ahead of schedule this year, so we'll see if those fish know when they're supposed to be light.
All right, we're ready.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Mark. Talk to you next Saturday. Okay, we're waiting for Marcos. In the meantime, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phones.
Oh, man, such good talk, Pete. And Steve from Fallbrook wants to join us on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, all. And, Wayne, I would like, again, to thank you so much for your commitment, effort, and your passion in protecting our resource. Thank you and Chris very much.
Thank you.
I was also curious. I've been hearing about NOAA talking about the Kumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary up on the Central Coast. They've done a really good job of describing the area and the impact and whatnot, but they're not saying what they want to do with it. And I was just curious, what exactly is a heritage or a national marine sanctuary that allegedly is going to stretch from Cambria all the way down to Gaviota?
So two different questions I heard in there, really. One was the necessity for having that 7,000-whatever-square-mile area designated as a National Marine Sanctuary. And then you were talking about the actual Chumash Heritage Group, which is the northern part of that tribe. So a couple different things. We just went through the comment period, the last comment period, for the Chumash National Marine Sanctuary proposal. And everybody chimed in. They had multiple meetings, webinars that went very late in the evening. People commenting on both sides of the issue. There's issues of qualification, and they're claiming that they want to do it for all these reasons, but the reasons that they give don't make it unique to that area, in my mind or in our mind, because the coastline, the mounts, the pinnacles, the shipwrecks, those are everywhere in Southern California or California. If you're going to designate it because of those reasons and you don't want the oil drilling or the seismic testing being done, you could say that about all of the California coast. So if you're going to claim that this is special for this reason and you're going to now create a marine sanctuary program that's all the way from Northern California all the way down to Santa Barbara, all the way out to Channel Islands, then what makes it special or unique? It's not anymore. It's just saving area. So what does it do? It lends certain protection and funding. It opens up areas for tourism. They're supposed to have special protections. The fishing part of it is really regulated through the Magnuson-Stevenson and the Pacific Fisheries Management Council under NOAA. But what happens, and we found this in other areas, is that the advisory panels have a certain amount of autonomy to then put certain restrictions, not necessarily on the fishing, but the ways of fishing, the type of fishing that you can do. And that's where we have a rub with it. The other part is the overlap. Right now we have what we talked about earlier, the 30 by 30 issue, the MPA to Cato review, and you have National Marine Sanctuary. Well, the 30 by 30 proposed document right now only claimed the MPAs, the 16%. It didn't get to the 30. Now, they did not include the National Marine Sanctuaries at this point because they don't think that they are have enough durable conservation efforts, restrictions in them. So they want to push higher standards to those National Marine Sanctuaries in the California waters before they'll qualify them as part of the 30 by 30 effort. Even though
So a National Marine Sanctuary closes everything?
It does not close fishing.
It does not close fishing.
But the whole point to the process isn't to close fishing. It's about saving environment, habitat,
right,
biodiversity, and provide access. That's the premise behind the whole process. Well, we have those processes in place already. So why is fishing the one on in the gun as a bullet?
Yeah.
You know, what did we do? What's not protected? What's not, you know, sustainable in our practices that we do? That's
sure.
why we do fisheries management. That's why we watch
That's
these
why
things.
We have size and limits.
That's
and,
why we do yes. these studies and the science. And we're
right.
not perfect. Nothing's perfect.
No.
But then again, you got to understand that they've created all these marine protected areas. They made them off limits to everybody. You couldn't do
Period.
Pretty much anything in
yeah.
it other than some science, right? So Mother Nature happens. Climate change happens. It's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. We're not disagreeing on that. But what happens is if you don't do proper management and you don't have the ability to use what they call adaptive management in your practices, then you're stuck. And that's what they did. They pigeonholed themselves. So the warm blob happened. The kelp died. The sea urchin took over. The sea stars died. The abalone died. It was like the perfect storm. Well, they wanted to go in and cull the sea urchin, the purple urchin. Right? Because they were considered barons, and then they wanted to, but they couldn't touch it. They weren't allowed to go in either. So now they wanted to do management. And that's where our rub is that we are trying to practice good, sound, science-based
and it was
management.
Science-based. But it was already truly managed under the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And then
before the MPAs were
exactly.
So the,
yeah.
the question
Man,
of,
what
okay,
a touchy.
So, yeah, it's a hard subject matter. We understand what they're trying to do, but they're building,
coming full circle,
but they're not learning.
Yeah, right.
The whole point
right.
is to learn from what you're doing. The quote use of adaptive management. That's what we're trying to explain to them.
And
we understand it. And we want to use that.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, the urchin divers were allowed to work so many days a week and harvest X amount, and it was managed from year to year.
Right.
As to what they could take.
It's just one of many complicated issues that CCA is faced with. It's just
well, and right now, and I the way I'm putting it together is. It's the perfect storm. Everything's colliding at the same time.
Yeah.
If you listen to the Chumash, the wind farms, the National Marine Sanctuaries, the 30 by 30 and the MPA Decadal Review,
Crazy.
On top of you have aquaculture being put in, it's the perfect storm of things happening. And the problem is the crystal ball is so blurry right now of how do they all interact, and where's the intersections, and who has point?
Yeah.
Who takes point on this? And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Are the feds in charge, or is the state in charge? The local government. We just talked earlier, on the side about the La Jolla issue of the sea lions, right? And they're trying to close off Boomers and No Man's Point.
Well, so many different issues. We got to move on.
Sorry.
Thanks a lot for
sorry.
The call this morning. Hey, Ali from Mission Viejo has a good question. Good morning. Great show. My question is, what's Wayne's favorite area in the world to fish for calicos? And could you please talk about the SoCal Charter Challenge and all the chapters that are competing? Good question there.
Very good question. Right now, Cedros is my favorite calico spot because
okay.
it is just
You go
wide
down
open.
With Jeff at Cedros Island Fishing Charters.
It is just
in
it's
the
a
private
concierge,
plane.
Concierge service. It's
yeah.
beautiful. He'd go staying at his house, and you just, if you're hardcore fisherman, you want to stand up on that panga on the bow and throw artificials all day and catch hundreds of calicos, catch and release, you can do it. Every day.
It's
3
awesome.
Days straight, 4 days straight, you can do it. And it is, we're like record setting down there at this point. And you come home sore. Just
yeah.
sore. But it is just so much fun because you don't know what's going to come up. That idea that you can catch the small ones, they're there. But then the big ones come popping up behind them. And I call it poaching. You want the first guy to hit the small ones, and you throw behind them because the big ones are sitting behind them.
Right,
and
Corey?
It's the same thing we were just talking about on the slug, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you want that pound and a half, 2-pounder to miss it because the next bite, more than likely,
yeah.
is that nicer one. Yeah.
yeah.
So when your buddy, with Jeff down there, when your buddy hooks a 2-3-pounder, you better be looking. It's the time where you don't mind casting on top of somebody.
Yeah.
You want the guy with
oh,
you
yeah.
to be able to do that because
absolutely.
More than likely it's going to
be. Because you get so
one.
Many followers down
oh,
there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and that's part of the fun. And that Clemente, too.
Be careful throwing an A-rig down there.
Yeah.
Because you can pull, you can have a fish on every hook.
Yeah.
And try pulling that over.
Oh, hey, boy.
The twisted wire like a pretzel.
Now, what about the Charter man. Challenge?
The Charter Challenge is our way of trying to get back. We want to have fun just like the rest of you. We're fishermen. So what we developed was a wait for all the chapters to try to get in to have a fish off. So what we do is L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and the Inland Empire all get on boats from L.A. down to San Diego, and they go fish. Right now, it's now a 2-day event, and the boats are already set, and each chapter has their boat and their own sponsor, and we all go fish, and it's a tournament. It's for fun.
And how do you get in on it?
You go to our website or go to our Facebook
page. CCACalifornia.org.
Or like us on Facebook and look
yeah.
at our events. And you can go up. The event is open. The boats are now chartered. The sponsors are out
so
there.
You can buy a spot on the
you
boat
can
right
buy a
now.
Spot right. In fact, I would go get there because every year we sell out.
Oh, and this year especially. I mean, you look at the boats that are selling out. Everything is selling out. So
yeah.
CCACalifornia.org, is there a particular tab on there for the Charter Challenge?
You go to the events.
Events,
yeah.
Okay.
And so it's already up there, and it takes you right to our Square site, which is where
okay.
we do all our purchasing.
All right.
And all the boats are there, and you can register
you can
and get
buy,
online.
Buy the ticket right there.
Buy it right now.
Okay. Okay, great.
Easy enough. Hey, you're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hook Up on a Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hook Up app.
Your vacation bucket list can't be completed without visiting the Katmai Lodge, Alaska this summer, a world-class wilderness fishing paradise on the banks of the famed Alagnac River. Get in the action fishing for all 5 species of Pacific salmon, king, sockeye, chum, coho, plus trophy-sized rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and Dolly Varden, both in the Alagnac and nearby waters. Katmai Lodge's Coast Guard and CPR-certified guides are fly fishing fanatics and know how to help you reel them in, ensuring your days are fish-filled while you enjoy freshly prepared snacks and barbecued lunches on the river. Back at the lodge, enjoy fireside appetizers and refreshments each afternoon. Delicious dinner prepared by the lodge's exceptional chef. Take a quick fly-out trip to Brooks Falls in Katmai National Park for world-renowned bear watching. And check out our trout fishing specials at katmai.com. That's KATMAI.com. Katmai.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Hey, Hey, this is Rosie from Cedro Sport Fishing. Cedro's Island is considered the yellowtail and calico bass fishing capital in the world, and nobody does it better than Cedro Sport Fishing. We are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. We have made a good thing even better. We are the only lodge to offer all of our guests a direct flight departing through the CBX in San Diego. Leave home in the morning and fish in the afternoon. We have a beautiful waterfront lodge and first-class meals and service. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7570 or check out CedroSportFishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
It's time once again for the spectacular Fred Hall Show, March 2nd through 6th at the Long Beach Convention Center, the world-class international fishing, hunting, and travel show. 5 full days of family fun. Enjoy the ultimate air dogs, duck races, live music, and more. Brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. Celebrate the joy of fishing, hunting, boating, and outdoor recreation at the nation's number one show, the Fred Hall Show, March 2nd through 6th at the Long Beach Convention Center. Get all the details at fredhall.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Yeah, all right. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio. We got a special
Yes, we do. Captain Jonathan aboard the Royal Polaris. Good morning, Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going, Pete?
Hey, doing great. I saw Frank yesterday. He said, Jonathan has a great trip going. And I said, have him call and give us the details. So what's up?
Not much. We've been rolling up the past couple of days. Traveling, you know, guys have been breaking down some gear, but this was the Jerry Brown Line 1 18-day trip. It was limited to 18 passengers. Our first day of fishing was the 25th, and then our last day was the 2nd there. But we put together a really nice trip. You know, I think we're a couple fish shy of filling the boat. We had 5 fish over 200 pounds. I think Lloyd Henry had a 240, Will Harris a 227, and Charles Milhone at a 220. Yeah. And then Robert DeLoach picked up a 219 and a 201.
Whoa.
We had a few fish in the 190s, anywhere from like 190 to, you know, 196 pounds, I think. And the majority of our fish was anywhere from, you know, like 110 pounds to 180 pounds.
Oh.
Seemed like every day, you know, we pretty much caught anywhere from 30 to 50 fish. Each day, I'd say anywhere from 15 to 20 of those were those 100-pounders or, you know, mid-hundreds, you know, occasional two in there. And then we had some of that, you know, call it 40 to 60-pound fish. Maybe more that's 50 to 60, but, you know, we released a lot of that or used some for chunks. But pretty much everything we tagged was that nicer grade there.
Unbelievable. What a trip.
Yeah, you know, log fishing was okay. I think we had 30 of those, but, you know, we didn't get to troll around much because we were kind of locked into a spot on the bank there. So when we were able to troll, we picked up a few. It didn't seem like there was a whole lot of those around, but, you know, we did catch a few of those a few times we were able to get out and troll around there.
Nice. Sharks an issue, Jonathan?
No, they weren't. We were able to have a chunk line going all day, and, you know, I think we maybe hooked one shark the entire time while we were there, while we were at the bank there. No fish, sharks or anything like that.
Sweet.
What kind of work, you know, we get a shot, you know, early. Sometimes they'd start biting 12:30, you know, and they'd kind of bite till daylight there, and we'd get a little shot right after daylight. Other times, you know, we'd scratch and get a couple fish, you know, early in the morning. And then, you know, we'd sit there for an hour, and then that current would start pulling up, and, you know, we'd start doing pretty good there late morning. But early morning and kind of late morning there were consistent, and then the rest of the day you can kind of scratch at fish. You know, you'd see them boil around. But predominantly in the dark and then late morning was when it was biting best. A couple afternoons it got a little shot late, but for the most part all our business was in the morning there.
So awesome. What
guys were getting bites on skipjack. You know, some of those knife jigs were catching some fish, PL-68s, I think caddy 15s. We were getting fish on sinker rigs.
Man.
Oh, dropping back a skipjack to go pick up a big yellowfin? There's nothing more fun than that.
Oh,
you're sitting on a 30 wide or a 50 wide, and that thing goes starts screaming.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like a lot of fun. And having a celebrity appearance by Jonathan Yamate on the Captain Yamate.
For sure.
Is that going to happen again, John?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's nice to see everybody again. You know, I fished with a lot of the passengers before when, you know, they've been on different trips on this boat. And, you know, it's nice to get out here and see everyone. And it's definitely fun to come out and do some sport fishing. So
that's great.
I will be around here and there.
Good. Well, when are you back in San Diego with the Royal Polaris?
We will be back in the morning of the 7th.
Okay. All right. So next in Monday.
Very good.
Yeah, this Monday. All right. Well, if somebody wants to climb aboard the Royal Polaris, I know very, very fully, just call the office on the Royal Polaris or check RoyalPolarisSportFishing.com. Jonathan Yamate, sure appreciate that great report. Glad you're getting him. When's new father Roy going to get back on the boat, do you know?
Frank's running the next trip, and then I think we have the boat as like an 8-day ecology trip after that, and then I think he's coming back out in March for an 18-day. It'll be, I think, the John Collins trip there.
All right, great. All right, Jonathan, well, thanks for the report coming back home from on the Royal Polaris. Have an epic trip on the lower banks there, and sure appreciate the report, and we'll talk to you. We'll see you on Monday back at Fisherman's Landing.
No worries. All right, thank you very much, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Scott Sherman's on the line. Good morning, Scott.
The Shermanator.
What's up, Sherm?
Oh, not much, guys. Listening to the show, I heard Wayne was on the show, so I had to call in. The guy's so busy, we haven't been able to do much fishing lately, so I kind of missed my fishing buddy. Thought I'd call in and say hi.
So bummed, man. I want to go out so bad.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's funny because Wayne, before the show, was telling us about he had three or four conference calls going on at once. Is that right?
Yeah. During the height of the COVID, everything was online, and I had concurrent calls and got caught having to testify or speak on two of them at the same time.
Yeah. Shows you how busy this guy is.
Yeah. It's never ending.
Yeah, that's the reason I wanted to call is I don't think a lot of the people in the fishing community realize how hard this guy works on our behalf. I mean, he's constantly on the go, constantly on the move. And I was wondering, Wayne, if you could maybe just explain to people kind of what your average workload is like. I mean, how many times do you go up to to Sacramento? How many times are you traveling around the state on behalf of the fishing community?
Well, that actually has changed a lot since we went into COVID because we were able to cover more meetings without having to travel.
Yeah.
So that in the workload actually, it got harder because you could make more meetings and have to keep up on more work. But in the same time, it alleviated your travel part of it, which was time, money, and, you know, and stuff on the road. So the road warrior side. But we really haven't stopped. I mean, you guys saw I was all the way up in Sacramento a couple weeks ago for the show. Went up and worked the legislature up there with some of our assembly members and senators and aides, and then worked the show for the weekend, drove straight down on Monday, and was in meetings until Monday night, until 7:30 at night, you know. And then it just went right into the next week, and here we are.
I don't know how you do it.
So, and then we ran up, got back from Bakersfield on Monday, got back from Sacramento on Monday, drove up to Bakersfield on Wednesday for a seminar that we delivered, a lobster seminar, and then drove home that night.
And then you're supposed to be in Santa Barbara today, but we drug you in here instead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Chris had to go to Santa Barbara. This guy is nonstop. Well, Sherm, appreciate your kudos there, and I know your fishing buddy will be back soon. All right, thanks a lot for the call.
That's
this
a good
morning.
One.
Good talking to you, buddy.
Yeah,
thanks, sir.
Good stuff, Scott. Hey, I've got a text here, Pete, that kind of falls in line with all this. This is from John Amir Mesa, and he says, Wayne, is CCA directly is it funded by other entities besides membership and private donations?
Good question.
It is a very good question.
We are funded mainly through our industry. We have a lot of our what we call the annual financial sponsors, which are businesses who sponsor up and make donations to us, whether it's in cash or in-kind donations.
Like APCO. APCO gives 10%.
APCO, Shimano is another huge
Yamaha.
One.
Yeah, but we have really grown, and the industry has supported us. The Landings, the Tackle Stores, the manufacturers. Yep.
Members.
Life members are big, the $1,000 and above.
The individual donators, though. I mean, the little
the club
guys.
Members.
We represent you, the saltwater angler, or the person in the angling or saltwater community. And so we really do represent you. And we created this program called Contribute to Conservation, which is as little as $10 a month off your credit card, and you can support
us. I'm on that, yeah.
And we have a promotion for this weekend. If you want to sign up for a new Contribute to Conservation as little as $10 a month, you're going to get a free T-shirt in the mail, a CCA.
Wow.
Because we want you guys to wear it proudly that we represent you and you're part of us.
And I'm on that. $10 a month comes off my credit card. Don't even see it. And it helps so much. If we get 1,000 members to do that, think about the money we could generate. And you get a free T-shirt if you do it now. So how do you do that?
Go up to our website, ccacalifornia.org. Go up to our Facebook or even our Instagram page. We have links all the way through to do that.
Come on, $10.
It's $10
all we're asking. Think about all the stuff that this guy's working on and all the stuff that we need to work on here. They need the money.
We need the money. We want to represent you.
Give CCA $10 a month. It's not going to hurt you. And get a free T-shirt out of the deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, CCA California, and then what tab?
It's up on the right off the events tab.
Okay.
So.
All right. Very good. All right. Thanks. Good question.
That's
Let's jump
good.
In the phones.
Let's do it. How about Gus? Gus in Burbank wants to join us on Let's Talk Cookup. Good morning, Gus.
Yo, you guys. Hey.
Yo,
Gus. I have a question. Hey. Yeah. Yo. I have a question regarding a commercial I heard earlier for the Fred Hall Show, and I was wondering Let's Talk Hookup planning to do their remote broadcast this year?
No, we will not be there. We're going to have some representatives calling into the show, but we won't have a booth and we won't be doing a live broadcast. We'll be right here in the world headquarters.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to miss the salmon.
Yeah.
And the bagels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll miss the salmon. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But as they say, the show must go on.
Yeah. But, you know, if you wanted to send that down for the guests in the studio,
right?
We're happy with that, Gus. Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call, Gus. Appreciate that very much. Got a great text here. Wayne, I've seen you evolve over the years as an avid, enthusiastic, and super informed Ikebon spokesman for CCA. Thank you for important contributions. Tell us what you think the biggest challenge that CCA faces this year, Norm. That's Norman in San Diego.
Hey, Norm. Thanks for the text. What our biggest challenge is unfortunately, it's us. Our guys want to go fishing, and I understand it, and I do too. The problem is that if we don't stay informed and we don't stay engaged, then we're going to get railroaded. We have to get more people that have the same passion to want to get involved and help mold the future. Otherwise, they're going to mold it for you. And that really is our biggest challenge right now. It's across the board. It doesn't matter what level of government or what level of engagement. Everybody's a volunteer usually coming into this thing, and you have to just gauge your level of involvement. But if you don't get involved, if you don't stay active, then they're going to get their way. And that's our biggest challenge right now.
That's good. Well said, for sure. Thanks a lot for a good text there, Norman. Want to remind you that I know it's 2023, but it's coming up quickly. We have a great trip planned to Whalers Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. It's one of the greatest fishing destinations in the world. This place is so wonderful. And they've reduced the number of people there from like 55 to like 30. So it's a real custom deal. All the rooms are so gorgeous on the water. And you talk about even less fishing pressure than before. There was no fishing pressure before. Now there's hardly any fishing pressure at all at this
from
place.
From 55 to 30 people.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So we booked a trip because you have to 2 years in advance. June 26th to June 30th, prime time for the king salmon, halibut, rockfish, giant ling cod. I got close to a state record ling cod there. It's unbelievable.
That thing was huge.
Yeah.
It looked like a
dinosaur. It was like 60, 70. I don't know how big it was. It's like
monster. 20,
it was like 40 53 inches. I think the state record was like 54 inches or 55.
That thing's a monster.
Yeah. But if you want to go, I'm going. Can't wait to go. I know my wife Lolly's going to go, and Harold Davis will be there with his wife. It's a great couples destination, too. WhalersCoveLodge.com. Call them at 800-423-3123. It's June 26th through the 30th of 2023. But like I say, don't wait because it fills up quickly. Go to our for all of our trips, go to the trips page at letstalkhookup.com, and all the details are right there. Let's go ahead and jump back into those phones.
Yeah, talking about Whalers Lodge, man. That sounds like a lot of fun for sure. How about Don? Don at Woodland Hills. Thanks for joining us, Don.
Hey, good morning, guys. Wayne, thank you. Thank Chris. Thank all the members of CCA for what you do for all of us anglers. My question for you, Wayne, is what, you know, you talk about the anglers getting engaged. Obviously, ponying up the membership on an annual basis helps on the financial side, getting involved in the raffles, et cetera. But what else can we do as individual anglers to help support CCA?
Join our chapters. If you get engaged with the chapters, then when they have their meetings, the goal is to be able to pass information and keep you engaged on what's going on. If you're a member, then you get our newsletter. Make sure that you're reading that every month because it's keeping you up to speed on everything that we're working on. Like us on Facebook and Instagram because we not only try to put fun events up there, but we try to keep you engaged on what the issues are that we're watching. And then we need help. We need volunteers to start engaging in the meetings, the commissions, the councils. We need help. We need bodies.
Yeah, we had a text from Ralph at Menakeet Menfi that said that exact thing. It's like, how do we volunteer?
Yeah, there's appointments into certain things. If you want to get into the Pacific Fisheries Management Council, right now we have an opening at the commission that's going to come up, the Fish and Game Commission. Well, who do we have in line that's willing to step up and become a fish and game commissioner? It takes time to build those relationships, the network, your reputation, and get you out there. We don't have enough people that are in the wings waiting and willing to get into these spots. And the same people, like myself, can't do them all. We can't volunteer to be a commissioner and a council member and work on highly migratory species. And you know what I'm saying? It takes a lot of bodies, and we need people in those specialty areas to help us. So there's a lot of areas, but first get involved with your chapter. Help us with our events and our fundraising. The more that we can do the fundraising, the more than we could try to then afford people to help cover those areas if we can't get the volunteers. So it's going to be one side or the other. Either we're going to find the volunteers to help us and then they do it and stay engaged, or we're going to have to find enough money to then pay people to do it, right? Bring staff on board.
Right. Okay. Hey, good question. Thanks a lot for the phone call.
Got a lot going on there, Don, for sure. Appreciate you calling in. I've got a text here, Pete. It's from Hills in Ventura, a good buddy in Ventura. And he's got a question about the state closures. He says, how did the Point Doom closure allow spearfishing and no hook and line? Which is interesting,
and
right?
And it's the same thing at Swami's, too,
it is.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was during that whole process that we went through, and there were negotiations of take and no-take areas.
It's almost, you're lost for words, but it's almost like it was the best of the worst. Like, at least they allowed that.
Yeah.
And
it's like, we'll let you do this, but we won't let you do that.
And they were almost going to allow nothing at all.
Yeah. Well,
the original chart was really bad.
It's a small win, is what it is,
yeah.
Really.
Because you look at, like,
take what we can get, is that what we have to do at this point?
Well, we ended up settling for what we could get.
Right.
I mean, and this is why we have to fight, and this is why this organization is so important. If we stay engaged from the beginning, if we didn't have
CCA, I mean, there'd be nobody fighting for our rights to go fishing.
If we didn't fight AB 3030, that was MLPA 2.0. That's why we penned it up that way.
Wow.
Because they would have rolled us. If they got the legislation through, then that put the statute in place for them to do it.
Yeah.
To get us. That's why it's important, because that's the same thing that happened on the MLPA fight. We didn't fight hard enough to block that legislation, which gave them the legs to then do the MPAs.
And there were some people involved in that, like Wendy and Tommy.
Oh, a lot of people so engaged.
Oh,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
There were so many people.
Merit.
But what happened is we let the legislation go through. then they fought on the MPA implementation side.
Yeah.
So we need to fight farther earlier in the process to avoid these
And that's
problems.
What being a part of CCA and helping fund CCA
That's why
about.
We have Wayne.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, they handle, in my words, what I call all the BS.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the Liberty. And there is no BS in that. They're getting started here in, what, just a couple weeks?
Yeah, I think
all
this
right.
week.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
You've been waiting for it, and it's finally here. The Gamakatsu Nautilus Ringed Circle Hook is now available in sizes 4, 2, 1, and 1-0. That's right. Those smaller, highly sought-after Gamakatsu Circle Hooks are now available in ringed and non-ringed versions down to size 4. It's the hook that will help you get that bite. The Gamakatsu Nautilus Circle Hook. Now in smaller sizes in ringed and non-ringed styles. Get it now at select tackle shops.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet. Perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. There's only going to be one winner.
Right, and we have a winner selected on the phones. Christian's done that, and we have a winner selected that Wayne selected from our text, and now he's going to flip the coin to see who it is.
And we've
it
got a caller.
The caller.
Right,
okay,
a caller.
Ryan in Irvine. Congratulations, Ryan. You're going on the Liberty.
Right.
All right.
Lucky.
Very good. And Wayne, again, support CCA. How do we do it?
California, CCACalifornia.org, do the contribute to conservation. If you're a business, we have the annual financial sponsorship. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, and the, and again, the contribute to conservation, $10 a month, goes on your credit card every month, and you get a free T-shirt right now. So just go to CCACalifornia.org and get on the events tab, and you can get that.
Or,
you can
or go through, sign the, up for through that. The links in Facebook or Instagram. We have links there,
okay,
too.
Okay, links there to get that free T-shirt. All yep. right, Wayne. Well, keep up the good work. You're working so hard, and what's next?
All the shows, all the events, and
yeah,
never ending.
You're going to be at the next show is coming up is PCS.
PCS,
of course.
Yep. We'll
yeah, the
there.
18th through the 20th, and
we'll be there.
You have a big presence there.
Yeah, we'll have the membership opportunity there. Don't forget, you can go online and pre-buy that to get in and get your membership all in one.
Yeah.
You do that up front. We'll have a raffle wheel inside. Come out and have some fun. Get some good prizes.
All right. Good time.
Thanks, Corey, for being here. And we'll look forward to having you back as co-host very, very soon. Because the return of Rock Hot Rit tomorrow
Big
on
deal.
7 to 9 a.m. Captains John and Peter from the Islander will be here. We're going to have a great show for you 7 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. And thanks, Christian, for all he does on the phones and the board back there. And, of course, to Adam, our main man on the app and all the work, the hard work that Adam does behind the scenes. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow morning for another great show right here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.